Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what incredible words God shares with us from his holy and inerrant word, the Bible, this morning. But I'd like our focus to be in this account that Mr. Whitney shared with the kids this morning of Jesus being in the temple. And in light of this, the theme that I hold before you is the ordinary beside the miraculous. The ordinary beside the miraculous. And very seemingly ordinary words in Luke chapter 2, verse 40, as the gospel reading began, with reference to Jesus, and the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Seems kind of ordinary, right? I mean, incredible blessing, but I'd like us to think about that in light of Jesus' humanity. Remember, Jesus is a unique person, unlike anyone else, fully God and fully man in this one person, Jesus Christ. Seems kind of ordinary, though, when we see just Jesus in the flesh, doesn't it? Well, you know, I don't know if any of you have experienced angels. In my life journey of ministry, I've heard many incredible angel accounts. I've had a couple of my own personally. But the one I'd like to share this morning is one that my wife Lindy had when she was a teenager. And Lindy grew up in Scottsbluff, Nebraska. And she and her mom and one of their friends went to Cheyenne, Wyoming, and they would take back roads, and it's pretty desolate out in those parts. And anyway, they're coming home late afternoon. It's winter time. There's some black ice on the road. Lindy was driving, the teenager, didn't see it, spun out of control, went into the ditch, didn't hurt anything. Her dad's fancy car, though, she was worried about that. And anyway, a hubcap flew off of the car, and Lindy's like, you know, who cares about the car in the ditch? I got to find that hubcap because I got to see my dad a little later. And anyway, this old beater pickup pulls up, parks, and there's a man and a woman in the pickup, and the woman's the passenger. And Lindy's frantically out in the snow looking for where the hubcap went, and the woman in the pickup just kind of methodically pointed right to where it was at. And Lindy thought, well, that's kind of strange. She looked, and there was the hubcap. Got it put back on. Everything was fine. And they were able to get out of the ditch. And then this couple asked them, they said, well, we're headed to Cheyenne. Is there a good place to eat that you would suggest and a good place to stay? And so they gave them the information. And so they thought that they would go right, headed west to Cheyenne, as they're going left, headed east to Scott's Bluff, headed home. But this couple goes in the same direction ahead of them. And they think, well, that's kind of strange. They said they were going to Cheyenne. They come up over the crest of a hill, and the pickup goes out of sight down the hill. And when you get to the crest of the hill, you can probably see 10 miles in all directions. And when they come to the crest of the hill themselves, the pickup's gone. It's nowhere to be found. It just ceased to exist visually. Wow, what an incredible experience. But very ordinary, couple pulls up in a pickup, but they didn't realize initially the miraculous that was connected with that. And you know, to a whole nother level, we consider the events that transpire this morning. Here we have Mary and Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus, and they are raising, blessed to raise this child, conceived by the Holy Spirit, is the Son of God in the flesh. And here in the midst of their lives, they are blessed to raise this child in this little town of Nazareth up in Galilee. And living with a carpenter. Joseph was a carpenter. By the way, in our travels to the Holy Land, I learned something, researched it, and actually carpenter in the Greek language means builder. So it can also mean mason worker. And the people on the tour shared with us that there's probably ruins around Nazareth that Jesus and Joseph probably worked together on in building. That was the business of the family as Jesus grew up in that family. But we see the emphasis God gives to us of Jesus' human nature and what seems very ordinary. He grew up developing as a child physically. He grew up as true man in the flesh as a little child, being filled with God's wisdom, growing in the grace of God as true man, knowing God's grace was with him. And most of all, he rested upon his Father in heaven. And so here was literally the perfect child. Can you imagine raising the perfect child? And yet, as people looked in, it would seem very ordinary. And Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph, extremely faithful, and we see that revealed in verse 41 of our text. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. So we see the faithfulness of Mary and Joseph. In fact, for Joseph and for Jesus, now 12, for male children 12 or older, and for the males in the family, it was a requirement that they would go to Jerusalem to celebrate these various feasts that God commanded. And there were three of them: the Passover feast, the Feast of Pentecost, and then the Feast of Tabernacles. These are big deals, and people from all over the known world, Jews that lived elsewhere, they would make that pilgrimage and that journey. When Lindy and I were in Jerusalem, we were there during the Feast of Tabernacles, and there were Jews there from all over the world. It was packed in Jerusalem that week while we were there. It was a huge feast, and again, that tradition and that command carries on among the Jews to this very day. And so we see the faithfulness of these parents. Mary didn't have to come, and yet we see that she also came. The whole family and probably neighbors came with them. And so we see the faithfulness of parents raising the Christ child. It's just incredible when you think about that. But here is where the miraculous comes in. This is no ordinary child. As I said, Jesus not only true man, but also fully God in the flesh. And you know, it really, I never thought about this, but at Easter, resurrection time, when we focus on that, we look at all those resurrection witness accounts. You know, even over 500 seeing Jesus alive after he had died. But I never thought about all of the accounts in Jesus' childhood referencing and revealing that he is true God. And I think it's rather fascinating. It was really an eye-opener for me as you put these together. And so I'm sorry I don't have sermon notes in the bulletin this morning, but if you have a pen, you may just want to write some of these references down that we're going to put on the screen. But in Luke 1:35, remember when the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and informed her that she would be with child? And here's what the angel responded to Mary when she said, "Well, how can that be? You know, I'm not married. And the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Think about the ordinary carpenter's son, Jesus, out there working on buildings, working in construction. And yet it's the very Son of God in the flesh as God reveals to Mary the child in her womb. And then we hear in Matthew 1:21, remember Joseph was going to put his betrothed woman away because they had not had relations yet. It appeared that Mary had an affair. And the angel appears to Joseph with these words, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So God reveals to us in this little tiny child, not even born yet, child in the womb, that this is the Son of God, this is Jesus, because this is the Savior of the world. And then in Matthew 2:11, the Epiphany, as we focus on the Magi, going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and what do? They fell down and worshiped him. Imagine that scene. Jesus, around 2 years old at that time, and here these elite men from a faraway place come as the star led them there, and they see this little infant child, and they bow down and they worship him. What a revelation as God revealed to them the reality of this one that seems so ordinary, but the incredible miracle of God's gift of his Son. And then remember Simeon in the temple? So Jesus is about 40 days old at this time, and Mary and Joseph take him to dedicate their firstborn to God in the temple. Again, we see the faithfulness of these parents. You can find it in Luke chapter 2. And it had been revealed to him, this is Simeon, by the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So God had informed Simeon, I'm going to bless you with this. You're going to see the Christ child before your life ends on this earth. And then Simeon takes this little child, this little baby, up in his arms, so ordinary, and yet reveals the miracle in all of this. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. Why? For my eyes have seen your salvation. Simeon acknowledging that salvation is coming through this precious little baby that he's holding in his arms. And then remember the prophetess Anna was there in Jerusalem at the same time as Simeon. And when Anna saw the Christ child, here's her response. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him, Jesus here referenced by him, to all who are waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And so Anna giving testimony that redemption, being purchased by God, being given the gift of salvation, redemption comes through this little baby that I have been blessed to see with my own eyes. What witnesses, what testimony. And of course, then we go to our gospel account. Jesus chooses to stay at the temple when his parents leave because he's got important business. He's only 12 years old. Imagine that, a 12-year-old child in the temple with these experts of Judaism, these experts of God's word, the professors of the day, if you will. And here this 12-year-old is listening to them and responding to their questions, and he's asking them questions. And what do we hear their response in verse 47? And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. So a 12-year-old walks into the temple, ordinary, and when Jesus leaves, they are just blown away by what he understands and comprehends. And then, of course, Mary and Joseph, as they come onto the scene and they see what their 12-year-old son is doing, we hear that they were astonished. And then Jesus himself gives the testimony, doesn't he? When Jesus says, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" The ordinary. In the midst of the extraordinary, this miraculous event of Jesus revealing his divinity, he is true God. Well, that said, how often, and I ask first and foremost myself this question, but I offer it to you as well, how often do we fail to get beyond the ordinary? When you think about your life, when you think about your relationship with Jesus Christ, do you ever get into that mode of it's just kind of all ordinary? I think that we probably all do. You know, it really saddens me as a pastor when I go to funerals in other churches. Many times I don't ever hear Jesus' name even mentioned. It's all about the individual and their life. And I think the most miraculous thing is the resurrection. And yet, when people need to hear most the victory over death and the grave through Jesus Christ, Jesus isn't mentioned. Literally, his name is not even mentioned. Or how about the idea that Jesus can't stand alone in drawing people to worship? I think we have to be very careful with this one today. And in light of the consumerism world that we live in, what I hear a lot of times in reference to church growth, you need the best facilities, you need the professional musicians, you need the dynamic preachers, you need innovative marketing techniques. And when you think about that, maybe that's not all bad if that's secondary. But how often, as churches, and dare I say, are we even tempted to put our trust in those things to draw the multitudes in instead of simply revealing the ordinary who is miraculous? Our Lord Jesus Christ, who promises, by the way, that he is with us always. It's his word that we're addressing here this morning. And what priority do families have today? I mean, if Jesus is just ordinary, it's understandable. I mean, oh yeah, this was this great historical person. He was a phenomenal teacher, and boy, a lot of religions even remember Jesus, and they even recognize him as a true man that walked on the face of the earth. But that's where it stops. And I wonder in our attitudes sometimes if that's where it stops with us. If Jesus is just ordinary, then this isn't that big a deal to be here this morning, right? And it's not that big a deal to have my kids here, and I'm preaching to the choir. God bless parents, having your kids here, being here together as a whole family, like we saw Jesus with Mary and Joseph. Wow, what a testimony. But life sometimes can seem so ordinary when we fail to see Jesus for who he really is in the midst of our lives. And so we get into the mode, if I have time, the church offers what I want. If there's nothing else going on, yeah, I'll take a little time to spend in God's word. What is your if? And I ask myself the same. And it's perfectly understandable with those ifs if Jesus is only an ordinary mere man. But the good news is that he is not. The good news is he is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. He is the only one who could do this and accomplish it. He is God in the flesh. And the victory has been won. And we see the gospel presented so beautifully before us. The cross going into the manger scene, the whole life and purpose of Jesus coming, and the victory. We need the empty tomb up here too, but the victory that our Lord has won for us. And we are blessed to live in this miraculous, beside the ordinary, every moment of our lives. It's incredible how God works. Think about the in hymns that we heard in the epistle reading this morning. Did you hear that? You know, the epistle reading begins in verse 5. We heard in Ephesians 1, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. It's always through Jesus Christ. So it's only through him that we can come to faith. In Ephesians 1:7, we hear this series of in hymns. And I want you to really think about these, because here's the extraordinary, the miraculous, in the midst of the ordinary. In him, a reference to Jesus Christ. In him, we have redemption through his blood. Jesus fulfilled the law, which we couldn't fulfill, and then he went to the cross and there willfully submitted himself to receiving all of God's wrath and anger for our failure. He accomplished that. It's historical. That is redemption. In him, we have redemption. In verse 11 of Ephesians 1, we see in him again. In him, we have obtained an inheritance. And that inheritance is eternal life. That inheritance is glory in heaven. And every believer receives this incredible inheritance. In Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14, we see in him again. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? God seals us into his family. And who the Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. So the Lord not only offers it to us, but he also secures it for us. And it's all in him. That one who seems so ordinary, that little babe, that 12-year-old child in the temple, that battered and beaten and bloodied Savior on the cross, the one laid in the tomb, the one who rose victoriously from the grave, that is him who has done this incredible work. And by his grace, his means of grace, we are blessed to know him. Isn't that incredible? To know him as he is. And talk about ordinary beside the miraculous. Do you ever think about it? How about our baptismal font over there? We put water in that font. Pastor pours water over the head of a child in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And through that simple blessing that God instituted, incredible, miraculous things are happening in the life of that child. Simple, ordinary water beside the miraculous. Or how about the Lord's Supper? Today, that's not offered. Next Sunday, we'll have the Lord's Supper and we'll be able to come to this table. And what are we going to receive? We're going to receive water and wine, right? Boy, that seems pretty ordinary, water and wine. And yet, when you connect that with God's promises, it's miraculous, because what does God promise? That in, with, and under this bread and wine, we are receiving the very body and blood of Jesus that died for us and who lives for us. And then, of course, there's the Holy Bible itself. Just a book of words, right? That seems rather ordinary. There's lots of books out there in the world. But the miraculous is that it's God's word. It's the living word. It's the inerrant word. It's the word that will never fail us. It's the word that changes lives. It's changed all of our lives. How blessed we are to live in the ordinary, but to be able to see the miraculous. You know, it's wonderful when God does enable us to see the miraculous in a really incredible way, like Lindy seeing the angels. But what does Jesus say? I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Think about that. This extraordinary, miraculous Lord, the very Son of God, our Redeemer, the one who at 12 was in that temple, is no stranger. But he's right here with us. And it's not only while we're in this sanctuary, it's every moment of our lives. The ordinary beside the miraculous, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who protects us, who guides us, who gives us new life, who will receive us home into glory. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in him, in Christ Jesus, our Lord.